these are public roadways, aren't they? Is this, why is it such an issue for trucks to be driving on the roads if anybody can access them, especially if, you know, there's not a very easy way to close roads to certain types of vehicles? That may be something that the uranium companies are thinking about. Like, why should they be blocked from a public roadway?
Well, we're here today to talk about the haul route, but it's really three issues. So there's the mine, and then there's the mill, and we're focusing on the transport. And for us as Navajo Nation, the tribe has already passed a ban against uranium mining in 2005, and in 2012 they passed the Radioactive Materials Transportation Act, which also bans the transport of any radioactive materials unless it's for cleanup or medicine. So in our nation, we don't allow transport of these types of materials because, as Serena has said, we've already been inundated by the past mining. And now what we're looking at is the issue of sovereignty and jurisdiction. So our tribe has these two laws, yet especially in areas that have a checkerboard jurisdiction. So in, like my family's from Eastern, there's a lot of different land statuses. And so it's really hard to prevent mining if it's on a private land or state land or some other type of land. Here we're dealing with federal highways, state and federal highways, which the tribe does not have jurisdiction over. And so we were hoping to stop the transport by raising awareness and seeing what our tribe would do as a nation to step up to the federal, because we know we have the right to live healthy, safe lives without having any undue risk from these types of trucks and facilities. And really, what we're hoping is for the mine to be shut down.
Energy Fuels or other companies who may be hauling uranium may say that there's no problem with this, that this is safe. What would you say to that?
There is no safe dose of exposure of radioactive materials. And so no one can guarantee our safety. We live in communities that for decades have been polluted by abandoned uranium mines. On the Navajo Nation, there's 523 abandoned uranium mines. And for 60 years, nothing has really been done to clean up these toxic sites. I have uncles who worked in these mine sites. I have uncles who worked at the mill. I have uncles who actually helped to build the platform and the headframe at the Canyon Mine, and also work at White Mesa Mill, so up and down along this line. But there's a reason we have things like the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. You know, RECA exists because there are impacts, and many of these miners were misled. They were not given full information in relation to the impacts to their health and their family's health, and this is the reality that we face. So no one can tell us, you know, if they're going to come in and try to say there's nothing wrong with the uranium, then put these mines in their backyards. You know, and then let's see what happens. Put it in their golf course. You know, let's dump this ore at the steps of the Capitol in D.C. Or at Trump Tower, and then let's see what happens and see if there's a problem or not. But, you know, if we look at the science, if we look at the fact that there's never been a comprehensive human health study on the Navajo Nation due to radioactive exposure from this a legacy of toxic uranium mining, but then we can look at the cancer, we can look at, you know, the fact that Navajo Birth Cohort Study, a range of other organizations have taken the initiative and to investigate and to study this, because we recognize there's a problem. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. Apparently, it takes anybody but a rocket scientist or a scientist from Energy Fuels to actually see that, okay, here's a mine with a toxic contaminants, and it's poisoning the water, and the dust is in the air, and we're breathing that, and here's cancer. You know, so we put two and two together and see that there is a threat, and we are taking it upon ourselves to organize this tour to safeguard our communities, because these government agencies aren't going to do it, and these corporations are going to continue to mislead people and say that it's safe, when we know through experience that's a deadly lie.
So I want to talk about more about organizing the tour here. What have been some challenges that you've had in getting people to understand what the issues are? Tarana.
I think each one of us has, in the beginning, has had a different thought on what this tour is about. And then from my perspective, growing up in Tuba City and seeing a mill site that was there, which my grandfather used to work at, and seeing the how it's impacted the community and I guess my elders and how sick they've been and, you know, the things I've seen and how I've taken care of them, you know, my thought is that with this haul route, we do have to advocate a little bit more, not just looking at the effects of past contamination or current contamination, but how can we prevent future contamination? And where each one of us is born into, we may not have been impacted personally by, we weren't minors, but we still carry that legacy as the next generation. And for me to have two teenagers, I don't want them to go through that whole legacy like I did of taking care of somebody who has cancer. And it's really hard. And I don't want them to go through the same things I went through. And that's probably what my, you know, the generation before me thought. But, you know, it's something that we carry on and we're kind of born with. So with this tour, it's about, you know, we can talk about uranium so much and how it's impacted all of us. But, and all of us have, we know that there's a mine maybe behind a hill. We know that there's a pond that we thought was, you know, a natural pond, but is actually a waste pond from way back. And people have swam in it. But, you know, we look at the haul route, and that's, to us, that's like another insult, an insult to injury. And, you know, when is that going to stop? When are these environmental impacts going to stop? When do we have to say, no, we don't want this, to finally be heard? And this is what this this tour is about. It's about awareness, education. Education we know about. It's just more education because now we have science to back up what we've been talking about for years. Education and science about, you know, what our relatives have gone through, our elders, and now we have something to back up for what they've been through.
You know, we have a mission, which is to stop the transport of uranium from the Canyon Mine. Actually, we want to shut down the Canyon Mine, and we want to shut down the White Mesa Mill. So we want to safeguard our communities from these toxic threats. And so if nobody shows up, it gives us an opportunity to organize. If, you know, a lot of people show up, you know, that's just as good, because the opportunity for us to mobilize, to inspire, to stimulate, and just by virtue of actually doing this tour, going through the motions of sort of reversing the haul route, if you will, back to the potential source where the material is coming from, is really an act of prayer. We're not by ourselves. We're carrying the prayers of our relatives, our ancestors, and in the forward sort of thinking for protecting our future generations, as Serana was mentioning earlier. You know, so when you were asking about what the challenges are along the way, it's like, we know that there is opposition. We know that there are people who say, oh, well, what about the economy? What about the jobs? You know, and so forth. But when we look at it, we have to say, okay, at what cost do we want these short-term gains in relation to something that, you know, doesn't have an impact that's just seven generations? Because if we look at radioactive pollution, you know, the exposure, the threshold for danger to the exposure for human people is hundreds of thousands of years, you know, so we're not talking about seven generations, we're talking about 700 generations, you know, so we're talking about short-term gain versus, you know, the future, really our future, our health, well-being, environment, and other beings, and waterways as well. So, you know, I think that we're up for the challenge, and we're looking to inspire people. So even if one person hears the message, you know, that's part of that power. You know, Standing Rock started with just, you know, a couple of people who were inspired to take a stand. And, you know, we have to always think about that. Those first steps are sometimes the challenging ones, but this isn't a first step. This is a step with, you know, people who have already walked down this path. And so we're following in those footsteps, and we're making sure that there's room for more people.
That's Clee Benally, Serana Riggs, and Leona Morgan. Thank you guys all very much for talking with me.